We continue our series through the Gospels, Luke chapter 18, and verse 1 is where we'll find our text tonight. Tonight, the Lord is going to challenge us to always pray and not to faint. If you're able, let's stand together as we read God's Word together tonight. Luke 18, 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we do pray for your comfort. We pray for your peace. And Lord, tonight I just ask that you would help us to learn how to pray. Help us to be men and women and boys and girls who trust in you, who believe your promises, who have faith in you, and who will pray to you always for all things. Lord, that we'll always come before your throne of grace with humble hearts. That we'll come before you with our petitions and our supplications. That we'll look to you in everything. And Lord, that we would learn to not faint. That we'll keep on being men and women of prayer until the day we see you face to face. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you bless your word in spite of me. And Lord, just help us to learn things tonight that will help us serve you better. For your glory and for your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And please be seated. Tonight, if you would notice with me in verse 1, the purpose of the parable. It's not a very common thing that the Lord will give us a parable, and Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us before the parable is given exactly what the purpose is. He spake unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, one of your favorite verses to memorize when it's time to memorize verses is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. You know, when you got so many verses you got to memorize for Sunday school class, one of the ones you want to pick, right? Jesus wept. Pray without ceasing. We like those easy ones. But sometimes those easy ones are the most profound and those some of the things that we need the most. Pray without ceasing. Jesus gave a teaching. He gave a parable. He gave this simile, if you will. And he said, I want to tell you a story. And the reason I'm going to tell you the story is so that you'll learn to always pray. You know, it seems ridiculous that the Lord would have to tell his disciples to pray all the time. It seems silly that we would have to be reminded to pray all the time. But the reality is, that's not always our first response. Many times, it's our last resort. But prayer should never be a last resort. It should be a first response. It should be an immediate response. As a matter of fact, we ought to always have the lines of communication open between us and God. So it's a constant thing. When you come to consciousness in the morning, when you wake up and you can't even hardly open your eyes yet, your thoughts should immediately turn to God. You should be in communion with the Holy Spirit of God immediately, and all throughout your day, as you go through your day, you're constantly praying, constantly talking to God. And the last thing before you drift off to sleep, you ought to be talking to God. We ought to have that close fellowship with him. And that was the purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I think that the Bible is redundant a lot of times. Feel the same way about my preaching? Yeah. Why? Because he repeats himself. What's the difference between always praying and not fainting? Well, if you're always praying, then you're not stopping. So why does he have to say pray always, and then he says don't stop? Because we have a tendency to stop. Because we're bullheaded, hard-headed, we're sinful creatures, we are carnally minded, we're fleshly, and we tend to slip back into the flesh. And he says, I want you to always pray. And then he says, and don't quit. Always pray, and then don't stop praying. It seems a little bit redundant, but we need that redundancy. The purpose of the parable, that we would always pray without ceasing. And then we see the parable itself. We see the two people in the parable, the judge. He was in a certain city, he was a judge, and he didn't fear God, and he didn't regard man. Sounds like a politician today. Oh, I figured you guys would be all over that one.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the kind of politics, you know, political preaching you guys like, right? Politicians are all bad people, right? They don't fear God, they don't regard man. They're just in it for the money and the power. Nobody's taking the bait tonight. All right. Hey, listen, we look at people in power today. We have that attitude towards them. Listen, it's nothing new. Does that mean every judge and every politician is wicked? No, there are some of them who fear God. There are some of them who love their neighbors, who take their position seriously and care about the citizens of their land. But that's not always the case. And it's always been that people in power have been corrupted. It's always been that people who have authority, not all of them, regard man. They don't care about other people. And not all of them fear God. So that's who this man was. And there was a widow woman in that city. And she said, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, the Lord doesn't, in his parable, give us the details. It just means this. This woman had an enemy who had done her wrong. And the judge of the city had the power. He had the ability to do something about it. She couldn't do anything about it on her own. She didn't have the power or the ability or the authority to deal with her adversary, to deal with her enemy, but the judge did. Is everybody with me right now? It was beyond her ability. It was beyond her authority. It was beyond her control, but it was within his power. It was within his purview to do something about it. She said, avenge me of my adversary. Verse 4 says, he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. This is a man who understands himself very well. There are very few men who would be able to admit in their mind, I don't care what God says, I don't care what anybody else says. This was a man who said, I don't fear God and I don't regard man. But because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He says, I don't care what God says. And I don't care about any of these people under my jurisdiction. But this woman is driving me crazy. And I will do what she's asking just so she will shut up and leave me alone. Come on, guys, that's good preaching right there. Now, I hope there's not a man listening to this message to say, I don't care what God says and I don't care about anybody else. But I will tell you this, there are some men listening right here, right now. It might be what I'm talking right now, that there are some things that happen in my life that I'm really not that concerned about. But if someone in my life is concerned enough to continue to bring it to my attention, sooner or later, I might get around to doing something about it. Not that I overly concerned about the situation. But I just don't want to hear about it anymore. See, I just thought some of you guys might need to be reminded that we're a little bit like that unjust judge sometimes. And all the ladies said, now, here we go. You're welcome. Notice, by her continual coming. There is a great truth that you need to understand from this parable tonight. This is really, really important truth. And I'm so glad that, have you ever studied parables and you have a hard time figuring out what they mean? And have you ever heard some good preaching on a parable? There's been a couple of parables I've heard some good preaching on, and the guy's preaching just went completely different directions. And then somebody else preaches on it, and they preach something completely different, and they're pulling different truths out of it, and maybe that's okay. But listen, you can't take every detail out of every parable and make it stick. Okay, in this parable, the judge is going to represent God, but obviously the judge is not a good representative of God. It's a contrasting. If the unjust judge would avenge the woman, how much more will your Father in heaven? Look at it. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So we saw the purpose of the parable, that you would pray all the time and not quit praying. We saw the parable, but here's the point. Listen to what he says. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? This unjust judge, what did he say? I don't care what God says. I don't care about my people, but I will avenge this woman so she will leave me alone. And if the unjust judge would avenge her, though his heart is wicked, though his heart is black as coal, how much more will your Father in heaven avenge you? Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. When I hear about avenging your enemy, and some of you may go, well, Brother Isaac, I don't have any enemies. Everybody loves me. But there may come a day when you have an enemy. May come a day when someone is against you. And let me tell you something. In America today, the division that we have in America is only going to get worse and worse. You need to understand that. You see, the divide in America today is not really a political divide. It's a heart divide. And those who love truth and the things of God are going to continue one direction, and everyone else is going to continue another direction. But listen, you don't need to go out and try to get them. You need to love them. We're to love our enemies. So much of the violence is going on in our United States of America today. Friends, it ought not to be so. Some people are committing violence against other people in the name of Christianity. Listen, that wasn't right in the Crusades, and it's not right now. We're to love our enemies. And if somebody does you wrong, your goal is not to avenge yourself, but to pray to the one who can't avenge you. And then we do good. Do good to all men. As much as is in you, live peaceably with all men. Don't avenge yourself, but give place unto wrath. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God will avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them. Now I want you to notice what he says here. At the end of verse 7, he says, though he bear long with them. And then at verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now the wording here may mess you up a little bit. Because he says he will avenge you speedily. That means suddenly or quickly. It doesn't mean that you won't have to go through the problem for a long time. It means that God will allow you to go through the trouble. He will allow you to go through the problem. He will allow you to stay in the storm. But when deliverance comes, it will come quickly. When deliverance comes, it will come speedily. Hey, you remember when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water? Y'all are quick to judge Peter, but he was the only one that got out of the boat, right? The rest of them was like the church today. They stayed in the boat to see how it went. Go on, Peter, you got it, brother. We're for you back here in the boat. That's right. It's just like on outreach today. We got out and there was a big dog in the yard. Go on, brother, you got it. We're praying for you. One house had a dog as big as a horse. Am I exaggerating? It was a small horse. That's the way we are. And we want to criticize him because why? He took his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking at the storm around him and he began to sink. He was in the middle of the storm. He was in the middle of the waves and he was sinking. But when he cried out to Jesus, Jesus immediately saved him. I think about the Apostle Paul when he's in the middle of the storm and it goes on for weeks. You remember that? Euroclydon. For weeks, they don't know where they're at. For weeks, they're being driven around. For weeks, they don't know if they're going to live or die, but he knows because God has already told him he's going to go to Rome. He knows he's not going to die there, but he's praying for the people with him. He's praying that God would deliver them all, but they still had to go through the storm. Day after day, night after night, week after week, they couldn't even see the sun for weeks. Can you imagine that? Some of you getting claustrophobic just thinking about it. You're on a ship, you can't go anywhere. You're just at the mercy of the storm. But remember, you're not at the mercy of the storm, you're at the mercy of God. Hey, some of you go through storms in your life emotionally, mentally, and you haven't seen the sun in days or weeks, and you're just being driven around wherever. Listen, you need to remember, God's still in control. And it doesn't mean that he's going to not allow you to go through the storm. He's going to bring you to the storm. As a matter of fact, he'll let you go to the point where you think you can't go any further sometimes. He'll let you get all the way to utter and absolute desperation. But when you cry out to him, when his deliverance comes, it will come quickly. It will come speedily. It will come suddenly. And there will be no question God was the one who delivered you. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? We have an enemy. And our enemy has great power in this world today. I want you to think for a second. We talked about it a little bit in our Sunday school class that David had adversaries. Well, sometimes his adversary, listen, Satan came and tempted him to number the people. But why was he wanting to number the people? It's very likely that there was an enemy on the horizon. There was a battle on the horizon. He wanted to make sure that they could withstand the enemy, that they could stand against the attack. But who was behind the attack? It was Satan. Satan worked through armies on the planet. You think about Job. What happened to him? Satan, when he came after him, there was all kinds of things that happened. There were weather problems and health problems and problems of enemies, marauders and thieves and murderers. Listen, Satan has great power and influence in the world today. We have an enemy. And there may be times that God will pull back that hedge. There may be times that God will give him a little bit of leash. There may be times that God will allow Satan to come in and tempt you and try you. Is everybody with me right now? If God allowed Satan to do that to Job, why do you think he wouldn't allow Satan to come after you? Even Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, Satan has desired you to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. When thou art tempted, that thy faith fail not. Did he say, I prayed for you that you wouldn't be tempted? No. He said, I prayed for you that when you're tempted, you'll endure the temptation. You guys with me right now? I'm saved. Everything should be perfect and rosy, and I shouldn't have any problems. No. No, that's nowhere in your Bible. That may be what the televangelist told you on the TV this morning, but that's not what the Word of God says. That may be what the most popular preacher in America said today, but that's not what the Word of God says. God is going to allow you to be tempted and tried and tested, and you're going to go through storms and troubles and trials. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have sickness. You encouraged yet? Life's going to be hard and it's going to be unfair to you. But God is going to be on his throne the whole time. Amen. And when you cry unto him night and day, when it's his time, he will deliver you speedily. Hey, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you just walk through those verses really quick at verse 6, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Listen, you're going to be brought low in this life. Instead of being lifted up with pride when trouble comes, we need to humble ourselves before God, because when we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. When we lift ourselves up, he'll have to put us back down. So we humble ourselves. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In verse 7, that means that you have care. That means that you have burdens. But we're not to be anxious and careful, worried about things, but we're supposed to take our concerns and bring them to Jesus. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We come to him, we give thanks to him, and we ask him to help. He cares for you. Be sober, be serious-minded, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we can resist him steadfast in the faith, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not alone. You're not alone. Hey, do you hear me? You're not alone. I'm amazed at Satan's ability to make you feel isolated, to make you feel like you're the only one. Elijah felt that way. And I believe every saint all the way through Scripture has felt that way at some point. And I know that everyone in this room has felt that way at some point, that you think you're the only one. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You are not alone. We have the same adversary. We have the same enemy. He is after all of us. You know, I've been amazed, if you study history, how nations come together. Even in the Bible, nations will come together. Nations that are against each other will come together when they have a common enemy. Right? Well, listen, we're not against each other. We're together in this. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in this church. We are the body of Christ, fit together by the Holy Spirit of God. We are the building of God, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are together, and we have a common enemy, and you are not alone. You're not alone. We can weep with those that weep. We can rejoice with those that rejoice. We strive together for the faith of the gospel. We are laborers together with God. We can resist Satan together. How? The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after we've suffered a while, he'll make us perfect. He'll establish us. He'll strengthen us. He will settle us. And it's all for his glory forever and ever. Amen. So we saw the purpose that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We saw the parable, the judge and the widow. We saw the point. And I want you to get this to take away. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know, a lot of people will take this phrase and they'll say, well, when Jesus comes again, will he find those who still believe in him? Will there still be those who believe the gospel? Will there still be those who are holding to the truth of the doctrines? And that may be a valid question, but listen, what he's saying here, will he find this kind of faith? Will he find the faith of the widow woman, who even though the judge wasn't a good judge, she just kept going back and kept going back and kept going back? And he says, what about the saints? There was no question in the parable. The saints, they cry night and day unto the Lord. They cry night and day unto God. They cry night and day in prayer. Night and day, they're calling out to God. Night and day, they are not ceasing in their prayers. It's almost as if Jesus expects us to always pray and not to faint. Will he find that, though, when he comes again? I want to tell you, friends, without prayer, we don't have any power. Curtis Hudson once said, there is more that you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. I'm afraid, as a church, as a pastor, as American Christians, we have been doing the business of the church in our own power for far too long. Hudson Taylor said, the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I stand here today, and I believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. I believe that God can still reach the people, the souls of men and women and boys and girls in this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that we can see entire families saved and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that people can be brought out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And I promise you, I do not believe that you and I can do that. I believe that God can do that through us. But he won't if we don't ask. But do we believe? That's why he says, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, if we really believed it, then we would pray. If we really believed it, then we would be begging God, crying out to him night and day for our family members to come to Christ. If we really believed in the power of prayer, we would be crying out night and day that we could reach our coworkers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we really believed it, then we'd be crying out night and day for all of our supplications, for all of our prayers. But we don't pray like that. We don't pray always. We pray at best sporadically, occasionally. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if we really believed in the power of prayer, then we would pray. And if we did pray the way that we should, we would see God do amazing things. Tonight, I want to ask you to prepare for a verse of invitation with me. We're going to stand together. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I want to give you two challenges as we come to a close tonight. Number one, make a determination in your heart tonight to pray always. Determine in your heart and mind right now tonight, I am going to pray always. I'm going to always pray. I'm going to pray from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in constant communication with God. In my heart, in my mind, I'm going to be speaking to God all day, night and day. Determined to pray. Listen, I'm not saying you got to have your head bowed and your eyes closed as you go through your life. I'm saying in your heart and mind, you're talking to God. You're directing all of your thoughts towards God. And that you're taking every opportunity you can to get away and get on your knees before God and cry out to him in the morning and in the nighttime, night and day, cry out to him. Determined to pray always. And number two, first challenge, determine. Make a determination in your heart. Number two, depend on God to help you to never faint. If you in your own strength commit to always pray and you try to do it in your own strength, I promise you, you will faint. You're going to fail, but you don't have to depend on your own strength. You don't have to do it on your own. He doesn't expect you to do it on your own. He doesn't want you to try to do it on your own. He wants you to depend on the power of his Holy Spirit in you that you don't quit. Don't faint. 2 Corinthians 4. If you can remember anything, write down a note. 2 Corinthians 4, you ought to look at it tonight. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have received mercy, and because of that, we faint not. Take the grace that God has given you. Use it for his glory. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Make a decision tonight. Determine to pray all the time and depend on the Lord. If he's convicting your heart, you come. Maybe you need to pray right where you're at. Listen, I don't know. I don't know what you may be going through. I don't know how the adversary has gotten after you, but I know there's a God in heaven who's able to avenge you. He loves you. He's not like the unjust judge. He loves you, and he is willing and able to help you if you'll cry out to him tonight. Whatever it is, you bring it to the Lord while we sing. Page 5.